Praise be Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Virgin Mary, our Mother. Amen. When Luisa Picaretta was 3 years old until she was 10 years old, she had a scared temperament, and there was so much fear that she could not be alone. But the reason for this was that from the age of three, at night, she almost always had dreams of terror. She dreamed about the devil. She tells us, "It caused me such fear that it made me tremble. Many times I dreamed that the devil wanted to take me with him, and he dragged me hard, and I made every effort to flee. And in the same dream, I was sweating cold, I hid, I took refuge in the arms of my mother. Later in the day, I was left with the impression of dreams and a fear as if the devil wanted to come out from everywhere. From that age, I prayed many Hail Marys and Our Fathers to all the saints whose names I knew, so that they would give me the grace not to make me dream of the devil. And if they gave me the name of another saint that I did not know, I would immediately add an Our Father if he was male, a Hail Mary if she was a woman, because Luisa said that if she didn't honor them all, they would make me dream of the devil. I also remember that I once dreamed of the Virgin Mary, who expelled the devil, and once she told me, "My daughter, cry, my son has died." One day, after communion, I felt more intimately united to Jesus with the golden ties of love, and he asked me a number of loving questions, and among others, "Do you really love me? Are you willing and ready to do what I want from you? If I still wanted the sacrifice of life from you, would you be willing, for my love, to accept it in good spirits? Know that if you are ready to do everything I want, I will do with you and for you what you want from me." And I, "Yes, I love you, my love and my everything. Could there be something more beautiful, holier, more lovable than you, my good? And then why ask myself whether or not I am ready to do what you want, while for a long time I have given you my will? I have asked you not to save me anything, even if you want to tear me to pieces, and I am willing, provided that can I always please you. I have abandoned myself to you, holy husband. Work therefore in me and on me freely as you like best. Do with me what you want, but always give me new grace, because by myself I can do nothing. But are you really ready for everything I want from you?" Jesus replied. To this repeated question of his, I felt oppressed. I looked confused and stunned, but trusting in him, with courage I said to him, "My always lovable Jesus, in my nullity I am as if hesitant and trembling, but distrusting myself, I trust courageously in you, from whom I feel that the readiness of spirit comes to me that will make me face and overcome any obstacle and test. Well then, I want to purify your soul of any minimum detail that could prevent my love in you. I want to prove your fidelity to me, to be able to have you as all mine. I want to verify that everything you have told me is true. That is why I want to put you under the test of a very hard battle. But in this one, you have nothing to fear, for I will be your arm and your strength, and you will not suffer any disaster, since I will fight together with you and for you. The battle then is ready. The enemies are in a dark hiding place, devising the roughest action of war, and I will give them freedom to assault you, to torment you, to tempt you in every way, so that when you have freed yourself, thanks to the weapons of your virtues, that you will throw against the vices opposed by them. They will be mocked forever, and you will find yourself in possession of greater virtues, and your soul will return as a king, who after having won the battle, returns glorious to his kingdom, adorned with crowns, medals, and merits, bringing with them immense riches. Thus your soul, embellished and enriched with new merits, will have from me not only new gifts, but I will give myself to it. Courage then, that I, after achieving the victory of the sustained fight against the demons, will immediately form in you my stable and perennial abode, and thus we will always be united. It is true that I put you through a very painful test and in a fierce and bloody struggle, since the demons will not give you rest or truce, day or night. In my name you will start the battle. During combat, this name will be continually invoked by you, as it will serve as a bulwark of security, and you will put it as a seal to the fulfillment of your most painful test, begun, sustained, and finished victoriously in my will, which wants to make you entirely similar to me. And there is no other way or other means of achieving this, if not through unspeakable and immense tribulations, which afterwards you will be well rewarded. Who can say now how I was shocked and scared when I heard the good Jesus telling me the fierce war that I had to wage against the demons? I felt my blood freeze in my veins, my hair stand on end one by one. My imagination was all filled with black specters, which I figured in the act of wanting to devour me alive. It already seemed to me that I was surrounded on all sides by infernal spirits. In this state of so much pain and anguish, I turned to my Jesus, saying, "My Lord, have mercy on me. Don't leave me alone and so downhearted. Don't you see that the demons are approaching me with such rage that they will certainly not leave me even the dust? How can I resist them if you walk away from me? My coldness and inconstancy in good is well known to you. I am so bad that I can only do evil without you, my good. Give me at least new grace, and so abundant that I can no longer offend you. Don't you know what is the pain that most tears my soul? It is just thinking that you can leave me alone in the diabolical test, for which I feel frightened and faint with fear. Who will give me in that case the courage to venture into the announced combat? To whom will I direct my supplication, thanks to which I can obtain the practical teaching to defeat the enemy? But from now on, I bless your holy will, and with the words of your most holy mother and mine, addressed by her to the Archangel Saint Gabriel, I say to you with all the impetus of my heart, here is your slave, let it be done to me according to your word, which is of eternal life." Before such words, Jesus told me again, "Do not be so distressed. Know that I will never allow them to tempt you beyond your strength. And they also know that I never put souls in battle with them to make them perish. In fact, before I measure its strength, I grant my effective grace, and then I introduce it into the harsh battle. And if a soul sometimes falls, it is never for lack of my grace, but because it has not wanted to remain united to me through continuous prayer. I recommend, therefore, first of all, constant prayer. Even when you have to suffer death penalties, do not neglect the prayers that you usually make. Furthermore, the closer you see yourself to the precipice, the more you will invoke me with confident prayer, in the full certainty of being helped by me. I also want you to open your heart to the confessor from now on, discovering everything that develops in you. In his hands, you will blindly place the solution to the problems of your future without discouragement. And from what you are told, you will put everything into practice, remembering then what I tell you now, that you will be surrounded by dense darkness, and you will find yourself as one who has no eyes, for which you need a friendly hand to guide you. For you, the eye will be the voice of the confessor, who like light and wind will disperse the darkness. The hand will be obedience, which will act as your guide and support to bring you to a safe harbor. Finally, I recommend valor. I want you to enter the battle with fearlessness, because what gives an enemy army the most fear is to observe the courage and strength with which the adversaries venture into the fight, facing the most sinister attacks without fear. Thus, the demons fear nothing more than a soul trained with its courage, which is based on me, and that supported by me goes against them, becoming the undefeated exterminator of whoever stands before it, so that terrified and frightened, they would like to flee, but they cannot, because bound by my will, they are obliged to suffer the greatest torment and their most shameful surrender. Courage then, courage. If you are faithful to me, I will always supply you with more abundance, my grace and new strength, in order to be victorious over them. Who can tell now the change that took place inside me then? Woe to me, what horror seized me! The love for my lovable Jesus, which a short time before I felt vividly in me, turned into atrocious hatred, which caused me unspeakable sorrow, for my soul felt shattered at the thought that the Lord, who had been so kind to me, was now coming to me as hated and blasphemed, as if he had become the most cruel enemy. and then not being able to look at him anymore in the images of him, because she felt an impetus of hatred, not being able to hold crowns of the Holy Rosary nor kiss them, because she was moved to reduce them to pieces. Oh God, what a bitter shame. I believe that if there were no more sorrows in hell, the sole sorrow of not being able to love God anymore would be the one that would form hell, with how horrible it was, what it is, and what it will be. The devil sometimes put all the graces that the Lord had given me before me, as if it had been a fun work of my fantasy, and then he urged me to surrender to a free and more comfortable life. Other times he manifested them to me as true and reproached me, saying, "Do you see the great good that Jesus wanted for you? And now you see the reward that he has given you in exchange for your thanks to him, leaving you, as you can see, in our hands. Now you are ours, all ours. For you, everything is over. Having become like a child's toy, you no longer have to hope that he can love you again." With these infernal words from Satan, I felt overwhelmed by an unspeakable anger against the Lord and by an extreme despair for salvation. So much so that sometimes holding images in my hands, the force of anger and despair drove me to break them in pieces. But in the very act of doing it, I shed burning tears and kissed the pieces of those images again. The demons, when they saw me prostrate on the ground to pray, would get so enraged that they pull me, sometimes my dress, sometimes the chair on which I was leaning to pray. They infused me with such fear that sometimes they made me interrupt my prayer, believing that this way I could get rid of them. And this happened especially at night when I would go to bed. And to fall asleep, I prayed mentally, and they, perhaps realizing it, bothered me, taking off the blankets, sheet, pillow, and I, without being able to close my eyes to sleep, I stayed awake, like one who has next to them a cruel enemy who has sworn to take their life at any cost and who awaits the right hour to launch the fatal blow of death. I felt obliged to keep my eyes always open so that I could know when they could come to take me to hell, and then I would have opposed to their infernal purpose the fiercest resistance. In this state of mind, my hair stood on end like thorns on my head. My whole person was seized by a cold sweat, which, freezing the blood in my veins, I felt it penetrate to the marrow of my bones, and the contracted nerves made me produce certain convulsive movements out of fear. At other times, I was led to such temptations about my life. However, aware of the diabolical art, I fled, thus avoiding the danger in which I saw myself. But I had to hear these diabolical voices. "Your life is useless after having committed so many sins. Your God has abandoned you because you have been unfaithful to him." And while they said this, they made me believe as if I had really committed so many evils. And what about the demon against communion? It was trying to convince me that, after so many hateful sins against God, it was shameless audacity to approach to receive the sacramental God, and that if I dared to take communion, Jesus would not come to me, but the most heinous demon, who after cruel torments, it would cause me eternal death. Other times, at night, while I was trying to pray or meditate, the demons first turn off the lamp, and then they emitted such heart-rending roars, or voices so pitiful as if they came from the dying, that they made me frighten and skip prayer. It is impossible to say what these hellhounds did against me, not only to instill terror in me, but also to make me put aside any spiritual good in the course of nearly 3 years in which I suffered this hard fight, except for a few weeks of truce. Whoever has not been subjected by the Lord to such diabolical battles will certainly with difficulty believe in such trials, sadly borne by me. To those who give me faith and want to know how these tests came to end, I will tell them how the Lord, my Jesus, in a communion that I made, taught me the way to use to ward off these infernal spirits. Here is how: to reduce them to their extreme debasement, not only despising them and ignoring them as if they were less than the ants themselves, but also concentrating totally on God through prayer and contemplation, introducing myself especially into the most sacred wounds of Jesus. And in truth, as soon as I began to do what Jesus had taught me, I felt so much strength and courage infuse me that in a few days, all fear was lessened. Therefore, when the demons made noises and disturbances, I would say to them with contempt, "It is well seen that you, unfortunates, have no other job than this, and to pass the time, you exercise in nonsense and nonsense. Just continue, that when you are very tired, you will rest. I, my despicable ones, have to do something very different, because through prayer, I want to open my way to enter into the most sacred wounds of Jesus, in order to obtain more love for his suffering." And they, more furious, made louder upheavals, approached, and affecting ostentation of violence, pretended to approach me to take me with them, while their mouths of hell vomited a horrible stench and a stink so suffocating that infesting my whole person, it caused me internally a chill that I tried to suppress by giving myself encouragement. And with force, I told them, "Yes, you are liars. You pretend to have power over me to take me with you. But if that were true, you would have done it from day one. But since all this is false, because what the Most High God gives is everything for my highest good, that is why you always sing the same refrain until you burst with rage and anger. I, meanwhile, use all your torments to obtain the greatest number of conversions of sinners, since for this purpose I have accepted suffering from the good Jesus, only on the condition that I can apply my sufferings for the benefit of souls through my will identified with that of God." At these words, the demons began to howl and growl like dogs tied to a chain, wanting to tear me apart and then pounce on the approaching thief. And I, more calmly than before, said to them, "What, don't you have more to do? You have certainly erred your accounts, since you do not do your calculations properly, because a soul has been taken from you that, repenting, has returned to the arms of Jesus, my good. That is why you have reason to regret." And if the demons whistled with lamentations, I, as if I felt sorry for them, making fun of them, I would say, "The poor wretches don't feel well. That is why I want to provide you a true relief from your great evil." And immediately I prostrated myself to pray with fervor for the conversion of the most obstinate sinners, doing for them many acts of love to my most merciful Jesus, asking him in return for the most perverse souls. The demons finally realized that there was no hope for them of obtaining anything, and rather they realized that they made great losses of souls. That is why they began to make long truces, in order to resume the harsh combat when I least expected it. Praise be Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Virgin Mary, our Mother. Amen.